From Ephesians chapter 1, we read from verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And on this anniversary Sunday, let us sing our first hymn, number 34, Angel Voices Ever Singing Round Thy Throne of Light. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come into your presence this morning, we thank you that we are reminded in the words of this hymn that there is constant praise in heaven above, angels surrounding the throne of God, the redeemed who have already lived their lives on this earth, who trusted Christ as their Savior, and who have died in various ways and circumstances. how we talk about the church triumphant and the church on earth here militant, because there are still battles to be fought. And so we thank you for the constant praise of heaven, and we too join in that praise. And thank you, Lord, that you never change. You have said, I am the Lord, I do not change. Your years are the same, the psalmist tells us. The writer of the Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What changes there are in this world. How there are those who would seek to take your word and seek to distort it to suit themselves and to suit their own views and attitudes. And some people say, oh, that was Paul's viewpoint. It's not ours. Oh, that was John's viewpoint. That was Peter's. It's not ours. It's not for today's modern man. And yet, oh God, do they not realize that John and Paul and Peter were told what to write? For holy men of God spoke as they were borne along by the Spirit of God. How they were like secretaries, oh God. How they put down what you told them to. It is not the words of man that we have, it is the words of God. Words which never alter or change. Society is not to dictate to your word. Your word is to dictate to society. And oh God, we just pray that you will bless your word that is preached among us week by week, and that is preached in other places. We do thank you for this anniversary Sunday, as we have ended year 117 in this building, and as we begin year 118, we thank you for the ministers, we thank you for the deacons, the Sunday school teachers that have served you in various capacities since 1896 in this place. And we thank you for all that has passed, but we look to you for what is to come, and pray that you'll bless another years of work and witness in your will. And so, God, we just look to you and pray that you'll bless us in your presence this morning. Come to each heart. You know our minds and hearts about these things. You know our thoughts. Just minister to us, we pray. May we not be like those whom Jesus spoke of, who draw near unto you with their mouths, but their hearts are far from you. And so, Lord, we just pray that we will draw near to you this morning. Bless us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's read from 1 Thessalonians on this, our anniversary day. As I said, the church building was opened on the 24th of May, 1896, 117 years ago. What changes there have been since then, but the Lord's word has never changed. And just on this particular Sunday morning, I like us to just look back over the past year, look ahead, a spiritual stock take, if you like, a spiritual health check. And I think these verses would suit to do that this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5 from verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. May the Lord bless his word then to your hearts. Let's sing again, number 428. Timothy Dudley Smith's great hymn, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way.
Thank you.
A very warm welcome to church this morning on this anniversary Sunday and gift day. This is one of those days today and the harvest in October when we seek to give that wee bit more extra to the work of the Lord in this place. And thank you indeed for that. And this is where we have also a special service, not just this morning, but our tea service tonight, when you're all invited for tea. If there's anybody who hasn't been before to our tea service, and I'm sure there would be few, I'm sure you've all been at some point over the years, you come for tea at 5 o'clock, and thanks to all who have put down to supply the tea, thanks to those who will prepare just after this service, the tables and so on, and ladies for some help tonight where trolleys are concerned and work in the kitchen and that type of thing. Thank you for all your help, and we welcome Mr. John Porter to our service tonight to speak and to sing. So just whatever time we get cleared up, we start our service, and we'll have a time of praise and then hand the service over to John. On Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting and Bible study, and I hope to conclude our studies in the book of Philippians on Tuesday night. And then next Sunday, the 2nd of June, and again another special day in our church here, it's our youth services. There's no Sunday school or Bible class, but it's the first Sunday of the month, so we will have a time of prayer at 9 o'clock, and then our service is 11:30 and 6:30. There's always a good attendance on Youth Sunday when all the children take part in different ways, and we look forward to having our speaker, Mr. Owen Patterson, coming along to conduct and to speak at both services. And then from tomorrow week, there'll be special activities, but more announcements will be that next week. But that week will conclude with our Bangor trip to Bangor on Saturday the 8th of June. And again, you know the arrangements. We leave the church at 10:30 a.m. and we arrive in Newton Ards, a church hall, at around 11:30. We have our refreshments, and then we go into Bangor and spend the afternoon there. So again, there will be more details about that next week, and we hope to have a sheet on the vegetable table for that, maybe tonight, a little bit there, and certainly next Sunday, just to see about numbers and about catering. Now, these are all the announcements, and they're all made in the will of the Lord. And during our offering now, we're going to stay seated and sing number 445, Shine, Jesus, Shine. And we'll just keep our seats and sing this particular hymn.
Oh,
Father, we just take time to think of others at this point in our service. We think of those belonging to your church who are unwell, those in hospital, those in nursing homes. Will you draw near unto them and remember them today, bless them today and their families. We think of those who sorrow. Since this time last Sunday, what things have happened that we have heard about? We think of what happened on the streets of Woolwich on Wednesday, and how our TV screens and our newspapers the next morning were filled with images that were just horrific. And how it shows us, Lord, that death can strike at any place. There's that young soldier that served in Afghanistan. I'm sure his family were worried sick. And I'm sure when he returned home to England that they thought, well, he's safe here. And yet he was so cruelly murdered. Oh God, we just pray that you will use this to speak, that no one is safe anywhere, that we could be in the street going about our normal business, not bothering with anyone, and yet we could be knifed or shot or assaulted in any form. Oh God, we know that these people want to terrorize and they want to create fear. Lord, we just pray that you will minister through all of these situations. We pray, Lord, for the congregation of Clockmills Free Presbyterian Church this morning and how their minister died so suddenly in England during the week. How he's been there for over 30 years. And there'll be a lot of sorrow and tears this morning in that service. Again, we thank you for Robert's testimony. And he's absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we just pray that you'll bless every remembrance of his work and witness, and bless his family and church as they come to terms with his sudden passing. O God, we've just sung, fill this land with your glory. And there was a time when this land was filled with your glory, and your glory can fill local communities even, if not across the land. Your glory can fill churches. And Lord, we just look to you and pray that you will create a great awareness of yourself and of your ways. And oh God, that souls who are not yet saved, not yet prepared for eternity, will seek you and be saved. There we have the death of that young soldier. There we have the death of a minister. Sudden death. And yet we are certainly sure of one who is with the Lord. O God, may these things speak. So Lord, we look to you now and bless our service tonight. Bless our youth services next Sunday and our week of programs after that. We just pray that any time that we are together that we shall know your presence in our midst. Remember those listening in to us via the internet, those who will listen to our services here. Lord, bless them, we pray. May they come to know you in a greater way. Be with us now, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. Number 640. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm sure every now and again you go to the doctor for a health check. You just go for an MOT, as it's called, and you get just checked out to make sure everything is all right. You'll go to your dentist maybe once every 6 months, twice a year, to get your teeth checked. You'll go to the optician if you wear glasses, maybe every 2 years, to get your eyes checked. And so we have all of these different checks that go on physically. And yet, I think this is always a good time of year in our church when we end a 1 year and we look forward to another year to have a spiritual health check. We looked at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians about 15 years ago, and I did these verses, but I had a fresh look at them during the week, and I just want to leave them with us all this morning, not just you. I'm not preaching to you. This is for me too. This is for us all as a church. This was Paul's first letter that he wrote. The Thessalonian church is only about a year old. The Christians are just 12 months old. What would you have written to someone who's just recently converted? And it's interesting that in these five chapters, and indeed in two of the three chapters that make up 2 Thessalonians, Paul mentions living in the light of the second coming of Christ. Chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Chapter 2 and verse 19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not you? Chapter 3 and verse 13, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And then we have that lovely passage in chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, about reunited with those saved loved ones, and then we shall be forever with the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this church was meeting in the light of that, in the light that one day Jesus will return. 2,000 years have passed. Jesus has not returned yet. And we continue to meet from week to week. And each week that we meet is a week nearer that coming again of Christ. And how we live our lives and how we just seek to live for him and to love him and to serve him. Verse 10 says, who died for us? And there the church is thinking of Calvary, thinking of the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. And we meet around that. We meet because of that. Who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we are alive or dead, we might live with him. Those of us who are Christians here this morning, we are awake. And we live with him. He is in our midst. We are in each other's presence. Those who are asleep, those who have died, they also live with him. Certainly on a different level. They are in paradise, they are in heaven. So whether we are awake or asleep, and one day those of us who are awake, one day we will be asleep. We shall be asleep in our graves, the body. But we shall be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. And verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Now, I wonder, as a local church, are we good at this? Encouraging one another, building one another up, not knocking each other down, but building one another up. Constructive ministry. Not destructive. Building one another up just as you are doing. And so this is talking about church life. All of these letters of Paul, the Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, they're all church letters addressed to churches. And they're a pattern for church life throughout history until Jesus comes. And here's what we are to do. In verses 12 and 13, we are to appreciate the leadership. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. There are pastors, there are elders, there are deacons, and we are to support them in every way that we can. And as it says here, to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Peter wrote about those in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. People are quick to see what motivates a man in the ministry. Whether he's in it for the money, whether he likes to be a wee dictator. Not domineering over those in your charge. People resent that. People kick against that, but being examples to the flock. Appreciate the leadership. The one who said, pray specifically for Christian leaders. Seek to be a blessing to them, and as much as is possible, learn to overlook their faults. Christian leaders often find themselves either on the top of things or on the bottom under them, respected or hated, the hero or the villain, admired or criticized, on the yo-yo of Christian opinion. They are, like us, all human, having their own individual needs for strength and encouragement. I always find it difficult to comment on verses like this, because I suppose they would apply to me, being in the pulpit each week, being your minister. I don't always get it right. I have my faults, and there's nobody more conscious of those than me myself. But thank you for over 21 years of patience, and I think you've got to know me by now, and I've got to know you as well. Appreciate the leadership. But it's to be a mutual thing. I have to encourage you, but you have to encourage me. Therefore, encourage one another. It's not all the minister's work. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Appreciate the leadership. The second thing we can see is admonish the wayward. That's the word that's used here. Admonish. Verse 12 has it. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you. I'm in the Lord. And admonish you. Verse 14 says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. That word admonish means to give earnest advice to warn. It even says in some translations, warn those who are unruly. It's a warning word to admonish, to warn. This can be done one-to-one, or it can be done from the pulpit, because the preaching of the word is not just a warming ministry to encourage, but a warning ministry. Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Teaching and warning. How are we to warn? How is it to be admonished? The ESV here says, admonish the idle. Now let me just jump down onto point number 3 here, because as well as admonishing the wayward, we have to aid the troubled. Because a congregation of people can be all kinds of people, all different backgrounds, all different problems, all different burdens. Burdens that are not known to others in the congregation. Because this verse says here, admonish the idle. Notice the people in the church. The idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Now there's three different types of people that can be in one congregation. The idle. And they can be identified as those with little or no spiritual concern. Those who come and go from church. Those who just come to please somebody. To please somebody in the family. Those who come because of maybe a family tradition going back years and years. Of the most of 117 years here, your family connections have been rooted here. And you come to keep that going. But you have little concern for your soul. You're to be warned. And you know that you have been warned by me and others about your spiritual state. Admonish the idle. Who are the idle but those who do nothing? And I think we can think of the idle in this way. Those who do nothing about their spiritual condition. You mightn't be idle physically. You might be a very busy person. You might be very industrious. You might be a very good worker. But you're idle regarding your soul, regarding spiritual things. You're not seeing to these things. And you're letting time slip by. And there's another year has passed by in our church here. And you've done nothing again about your soul. You're another year older. Admonish the idle. And then there's the faint-hearted. If the idle are those with little or no spiritual concern, the faint-hearted are those who need spiritual comfort. Those who need comforted. The faint-hearted. Those who have had different kinds of troubles. Who need encouraged? Who need built up? And again, we can all do that. It's not just to be left up to me. It's not just to be left up to the minister. But anybody can do it. Paul says, and we urge you, brothers. He's writing to the entire church. Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted. help the weak. Now, if the idle are those with little or no spiritual concern, and the faint-hearted are those who need spiritual comfort, maybe we can think of the weak as those who need spiritual courage. They're weak. Maybe someone who's made a profession, but they're not developing as well as they should. They need help and encouragement. So these are the people that we have in our church. So we can see the people in our church, the idle, the faint-hearted, the weak. We can see the practices in the church. We have to admonish. We have to encourage the faint-hearted. We are to help the weak. Be patient with them all, it says. We have to show patience. Admonish, warn, maybe one-to-one. Maybe a person who's going off in a direction of life, and you know it's not going to be beneficial for them, you have to warn that person. Warn them from the Scriptures. And to encourage, and to encourage the faint-hearted. Those that easily get down. Those who are burdened. Share that burden with them. Help the weak. A strong person drawing alongside a weak person to help them. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. And we have all to be included in this. Sometimes, yes, I'm told of someone who would appreciate a visit, and that's good, and I will visit them. But why don't you visit them yourself? I'll visit them as well. But why don't you visit them? And spend half an hour with them. Don't leave it all to me. And we urge you, brothers, as one has said, let us not forget that David needed a Jonathan, Elijah, and Elisha. And even Paul had Epaphras and Luke and Timothy, etc. And a person just mightn't need their minister. They might need you as well. So we have to appreciate the leadership, admonish the wayward, aid the troubled, avoid retaliation. In verse 15, it says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Was there something going on in the Thessalonian church that we don't have much detail about? It says in verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. After saying about the leadership and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, be at peace among yourselves. Was there a threat to the peace and harmony in the church? Was there tension in the Thessalonian church? See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Because that is the way of Christ, isn't it? Again, we learn from 1 Peter 2 and verse 23 that when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. We have just to hand it all over to the Lord. And one has said that the church ought never to be the kind of army that shoots its wounded. The local church ought to be a place where kindness flourishes and not a battleground for the settling of scores. And then we come into a section of verses where Paul, it's as if his heart is just bubbling over. There's just verses here with two or three words in them, and I've just brought them all together that we have to attend to certain duties. In verse 16, let's take the verses just one by one very quickly. Rejoice always. Look at that. Two words. Rejoice always. There we could say Christian joy. Christian joy. The psalmist talks about the joy of God's salvation. And you know, this life is only preparation for an eternity in heaven. As one has said, we will be rejoicing in heaven, so let's get in tune and practice now. And to show the outside world that we are a joyful church, we are a joyful people. That we have a joy that this world does not know and cannot create, but a joy that comes from knowing God. Rejoice always. Christian joy. In verse 17, pray without ceasing. There we have constant prayer. Pray without ceasing. And not just a few moments in the morning and maybe a few moments late at night, but throughout the day of every day. As one has said, amidst the commonest duties and recreations of life, it is still possible to be engaged in prayer. Just constantly praying to the Lord. Christian joy, constant prayer. In verse 18, we have comprehensive thanksgiving. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In all circumstances. Because how would you know what to leave out and what to include? Yes, there are those things that we like to think that we can thank God for, but there's other things that come along, other circumstances in life. And how can you thank for that? So Paul just brings them all together. And look at the circumstances that he found himself in. He tells us in other scriptures he was beaten, he was assaulted, he was shipwrecked, he was hungry. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We wouldn't know what to include and what to exclude. So we thank God for everything. Do you thank God for your church? Do you thank God each Sunday that you come, you hear the faithful ministry of God's word? Christian joy, constant prayer, comprehensive thanksgiving. We can say in verse 19, continual burning. Do not quench the Spirit. Some translations put it, the NIV puts it, do not put out the Spirit's fire. The New Living Translation will say, do not stifle the Spirit. That word quench has to do with putting out a fire. Do not quench the Spirit. Because we do talk about the Spirit's fire. Luke 3, verse 16. Jesus said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Christian has a fire within them. It is the Spirit of God. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. We're only after singing. And we sometimes sing the words of Charles Wesley, "O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze. Do not quench the spirit." It is so easy to put a fire out. So easy. How could we put the Spirit's fire out? How could we quench the Spirit? One has put it like this: anything that will tend to damp the ardor of piety in the soul, to chill our feelings, to render us cold and lifeless in the service of God, may be regarding as quenching the Spirit. Neglect of cultivating the Christian graces, or of prayer, of the Bible, of the sanctuary, of a careful watchfulness over the heart will do it. Worldliness, vanity, levity, ambition, pride, the love of dress, or indulgence in an improper train of thought will do it. How we must be careful that we do not quench the Spirit personally and congregationally in the church. So these are these duties: Christian joy and constant prayer, comprehensive thanksgiving, continual burning, verses 20 and 21, constructive ministry. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. You see, at the time of the Thessalonian church, the books of the Bible, the canon of Scripture, was not yet complete. God was still revealing His word through prophets. And they were all different prophets. Some were true, some were false. And the people had to determine who was true and who was false. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. My dear friends, that is the work of the church. There are still those who claim to be prophets. There are still false prophecies. There are all different kinds of religions. And there are some, just to keep the peace, will just go along with that. And all roads lead to God, no matter what religious road it is. And they more or less take these verses out of their Bibles. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Reject the bad. Hold fast what is good. And today we have a complete Bible, and that is our total and final authority from God. And all teaching is to be examined in the light of that. If it's biblical, then we hold on to it tightly. Hold fast what is good. And we reject everything else. Another duty is conquering sin. Christian joy, constant prayer, comprehensive thanksgiving, continual burning, constructive ministry, conquering sin. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil, no matter how attractive it is. Abstain from it. Because we hate sin, because God hates it. Psalm 97, verse 10, "O you who love the Lord, hate evil." Very quickly, acknowledge the work. Verses 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body, every part of our being, as one has said, every corner of my being needs to be purified. Your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And notice who God has called here, or what God has called here. Now may the God of peace, because there is peace between God and the penitent, between the sinner who comes and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's peace has been made. Peace has been declared. Before this, you're at enmity with God. You're the enemy of God. But when you come to know him as your Savior, he becomes to you the God of peace. Peace has been made. Now may the God of peace himself, and a work has started, and a work progresses and carries on until Jesus comes. It's called sanctification. And it's a progressive work. Philippians 1 verse 6 says that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So this work is going on now. And we are becoming more holy and more Christ-like. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. This work is going on now. And lastly, we see abound in affection. Verse 25, brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. That mightn't be so much now as it was in these days. Now it can be a hearty handshake. It can even be an embrace. But there's to be love shown in the church. The church is to abound in affection. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. So there's always room for improvement. There's always those occasions when we meet new people and we can show them Christian love. So are we a 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 12 to 26 church? Are you a 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 12 to 26 Christian individual? Appreciating the leadership, admonishing the wayward, aiding the troubled, avoiding retaliation, attending to certain duties, acknowledging the work of sanctification in your heart and life, abounding in affection. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts then on this anniversary day. Number 6, 8, 7 then. These are the facts as we have received them. These are the truths that the Christian believes. Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.